The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And I remember feeling this crushing sense that something horrific has happened.
Coming up, when Kim was 9 years old, her father murdered her mother and killed himself.
And what I now know as an adult is that the Lord of all creation came down and knelt in the dirt beside a breaking child.
Stay tuned as Kim Meador, along with her husband Troy, reveal what matters most in life. Next.
For joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty Robinson. This is James.
Yeah, we're laughing. We're laughing because I had a staph infection, you know, a couple of years ago, but about took me out. And the regimen to get well, to fight off the infection, it left me with dry mouth, so I used this spray. So I said to him, go, let's spray. Well, my guests, they just bow over. I said, spray. But that didn't mean we're cutting short on prayer.
That's not a bad idea.
No, we pray a lot. Did you tell them who we were? You did, right?
I did.
Okay, I was thinking about prayer.
Do you remember who we are?
Let me just say this to you. Yeah, I appreciate you helping me. Getting a little older. The book Indivisible, it's in the bookstores. You can order it online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the major booksellers. I really plead with you and pray and ask God to direct us to correct our course as a nation. I believe we're wandering in a wilderness of unbelief where there's really the war of a spirit of ungodliness and an anti-God worldview, and then the godly worldview and the biblical worldview where we're under God and under His covering and His shelter. But you know, Israel had a tendency to turn back and become prisoners in the promised land. And I really see us right now in a place where Jeremiah warned in the second chapter, what are you doing headed back to Egypt? They were in the promised land. They were having real battles, but now they still want to go back to that, to bondage, thinking it would be security. And I really believe what Indivisible does is it gives us a way out of the wilderness. So I really pray that you'll get it. We've got wonderful guests, as we always do, but this week we've got Troy and Kim Meador. And Kim wrote a book, Fierce Beauty. Now, when she starts telling you her story, and Troy's here with her because he got to see this incredible beauty, and I wanted her to tell us how they came up with this title, because she didn't pick it, even though she's a very beautiful person, and she's strong. She saw something awful when she was only 9. I want you to welcome Kim and Troy Meador to Life Today. Would you?
I'm so glad to see you. Thank you so much.
I'm glad to see you. I already referenced the fact that you had an event that was startling, hard to even imagine. Tell us about it, because I know that's what led you on the journey that really inspired the story that you share, not only as you witness, but also in the book Fierce Beauty.
You know, hard things happen to everyone, and when we are in that place of devastation and crushing, no one can tell us that someday God is going to use this for good. That just can't go into our mind, and yet it is true. It is true, and that the truth of 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, where God says, I'm going to comfort you in your time of need, so that when others around you go through the same thing, you can give them that comfort that I've given you. And I love that verse, because then all of a sudden, the hardships and the suffering that we face has a purpose. It has a purpose. It's like God's Midas gold times a zillion, that God's comfort not only heals us, it heals everyone we share it with. And that is something to hold fast and precious before the Lord. When I was 9 years old, my parents were going through a divorce, as is so prevalent today. And at 9 years of age, you know, your dad, he wears a cape and he flies, and he's your superhero, and your mom is the most beautiful woman in the world, and you want to grow up and look just like her. And I remember a little bit earlier than that, I used to look at my dad and say, someday I'm going to marry you. And I just loved my dad so much. And so during this season of divorce, I don't know that I even really understood what that meant. And I remember my dad's friend coming to my little school and picking me up and picking up my, I have two older sisters, and we drove this distance out to my grandparents' house, and no one spoke, no one. And I remember feeling this crushing sense that something horrific has happened. I feel it. And driving down, and all these cars parked everywhere, and you could just feel the grief coming out of the house. And even as a child, I remember just thinking, I don't want to go in there. Don't make me go in. Don't make me go. And just being grabbed by my shoulders and just pushed in the door. And there was this woman who I recognized, and she was trying to hug me and comfort me. And she was just crying out of control, just, I'm sorry. And she just could hardly speak. And she just kept saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Your dad's just murdered your mother, and he's killed himself. I'm sorry. And I remember looking at her and thinking, I think you're a liar, because that can't be true. My dad would never do that. I think you're a liar. And I just broke out of her arms and ran out the door and just ran and ran and ran in this child's effort to just outrun the unthinkable. And I was running through an orchard that had just been plowed, and I remember just falling down in the dirt and just screaming and screaming and just grabbing handfuls of dirt in this little girl's effort to hold on to her parents. And just screaming, Jesus, help me. Will you help me now? Mm. I need you. I think at that time in my life, I'd been to church twice. And Jesus was some guy hanging on a cross on a wall somewhere. And yet intuitively, when our life is being crushed, God has made it within every man to turn to him. And what I now know as an adult is that the Lord of all creation came down and knelt in the dirt beside a breaking child. And he took the little hand that was reaching out to him. And my Jesus has never let go. He has never let go. And I'll be the first in line to tell anyone who is in a painful place of suffering where you don't think you're going to survive, you call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. And you will never be alone again. And you will never know the wholeness that only he can bring until we reach out to him. And that was the beginning of everything that God had in mind to come.
When you tell the story and you build from there with fierce beauty, the title, how did that come from the publishers?
You know, working on the ranch and traveling and speaking for many, many years, I've been seeing this trend building across our nation that's not so lovely. And this trend is leading women toward the idea that how you look is way more important than how you live. And who you are in Jesus Christ, and that we are exchanging the beauty that Jesus gives to each one of his children in exchange for just looking pretty. And by giving that genuine gift up, we're also giving up our genuine worth and our genuine value as women. And what I'm seeing is that across our nation, women are more flawless than ever on the outside. And yet on the inside, I deal with women who are more crushed and devastated, hopeless, worthless, feeling useless and alone. We're being lied to and we're believing it. Mm-hmm. And the whole book of Fierce Beauty was an effort for me to take back ground in my own life that Jesus Christ gave his life to defend. And right now I need to fiercely fight for that. I'm learning that it doesn't just happen because I want it to. It happens because I fight for it with my very life, because really, that's exactly what's at stake. In this nation, women are so focused on themselves, it's time for all of us to take off this little crown of entitlement that we've crowned ourselves with and pick up our King's sword of encouragement and fight for those around us who are losing their battle for hope. It is time to fight.
Don't you think that a lot of women do that? They care more about the outside than because they are trying to disguise and hide the hurt and the pain.
Absolutely.
And low self-esteem and the fear and all that that's within them, that they think they're ugly inside and out.
Our enemy is nothing if he isn't cunning, a thief, and a liar. And he's very patient, and he doesn't care if it's glamorous. He just cares that it works. And if a woman's focus is moved off of Jesus Christ onto herself, he's won.
Well, you are investing your lives in your ranch. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody what the name of the ranch is in case they want to go online and kind of see what it is you're doing, because you've actually become a model for how you can use horses and spend time with children and minister to them, and it has a transforming effect. What's the name of the ranch?
Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. It's out of Bend, Oregon.
If anybody wanted to see what you're doing and kind of see the program, could they find it online?
Absolutely, www.crystalpeaksyouthranch.org.
Now, you're seeing some wonderful experiences.
Yeah.
You tell a story that's kind of gotten legs. Of course, it's in the book, but you know, people are talking about how it affected them, and it's really a powerful story about the power of a smile.
Absolutely.
Kind of been tuned in and been informed that it's quite moving. I really would like for you to tell us, because I've actually never heard the story. I've only heard it referenced. And share it with our viewers.
I would love to. I am around people constantly at our ranch that I hear this resounding theme that, oh, I don't have anything to give to God, that God couldn't use a person like me. And the truth is, God will use whatever you give him. He's the God of loaves and fishes. It doesn't matter how little it seems to us. It only matters that we trust him enough to be obedient to give him something. If we give God nothing, that's exactly what we can expect him to do in our heart and in the hearts of those around us. But if we give him something, even a little thing, we blow the door open for God to do amazing things through us. It is him. It is always him. And so this someone I love very much shared this story with me, and it has changed my life. And I hope it'll change yours too. This young woman at 15 years of age was living in a household that was so dangerous that Children's Services came in, picked her up, drove her a great distance, and dropped her off into a new home and a new life. Here, start over. Knock yourself out. And this young woman lost everything. In one moment, it was gone. Her home, her friends, her family, her pets, her peers, her neighborhood, her school, everything. And she said, Kim, I was walking down this brand new high school, down halls that I'd never seen before, and I didn't know anyone. And she said, after one day of going to this school, I realized something. Not one person spoke to me. Not one person even looked at me. And one day became two, and then a week, and then a month. This young woman is dying inside. She's lost everything. And she said, no one spoke to me. No one even looked at me. 2 months went by. And she said, I remember I was sitting in the back of my fourth period math class right against the wall. And that's when I realized that no human heart should suffer like this. And she said, I came to the conclusion that the only way to make the pain in my heart stop was just to make my heart stop. And she said, I made the decision that I was going to go home and end my life, and no one would ever know that I died, because nobody ever knew that I lived. Nobody. And she said, I felt so much peace in knowing that it would be over. It would just be over, my suffering and my hurt and my sorrow and pain. And the bell rang, and she picked up her books and walked out into the hallway with 1,000 other kids coming and going. And she was on her way down the hall, and these two boys were pushing and shoving. And one of these young men hit her so hard, it knocked her down on her knees on the floor and just splattered her books across the hall. And she said, I was on my hands and knees, trying to reach my things as people are stamping in with their grimy shoes and carrying my papers down the hall, and nobody stopped to help. Nobody cared. Nobody even noticed. And she said, I gathered up as much as I could, and I was just so sad. I just needed to get away so I could cry. I just was so sad. And she said, I stood up, and there was this blonde girl across the hall with blue eyes that saw the whole thing, and she was looking at me. And she said, I was just waiting for her to laugh or call me names or just be like everyone else and just ignore me altogether. And she did none of those things. They watched each other. And she said, all of a sudden, this blonde girl did something very unexpected. She smiled at me. And we watched each other walk until our necks wouldn't turn any further. And I couldn't believe that maybe there was one person that saw me. Resolute, she said, I went home. I got the things that I needed. And I went to the place that I chose. And I got down on my knees, locked in a position of destruction. And all I could see was this blonde girl's face and this beautiful smile that was directed at me. And I thought, maybe, Lord, there's just one person in this world who cares for me. I'll wait one more day. Maybe it meant something. And so sure enough, the next day, that space between fourth and fifth period, you can imagine her just carrying her books right up under her chin, just looking. Are you there? Is there one? Just looking. And she said, I went all the way to my next class and stopped in front of the threshold knowing if I go in, it's over. It's all over. And she looked down the hall one more time. Blonde girl pops around. She's kind of looking around too, sees her again and smiles again. And one day became two, and then a week, and then a month. This went on every day. And this devastated young woman told me, she said, Kim, I knew I could hold on till that space between fourth and fifth period that I would be okay because there was one person in this world who cared enough for me to smile at me. And one smile a day given to the Lord, this young woman was a Christian, was enough to save my life until I came to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And she said, you know what, Kim, the amazing part of the story is that girl and I don't even know each other's names. We never even met. And that her smile dedicated to the Lord in the hands of God was enough to save my life. Don't you dare think that anything you have to give God is too small. He is the Lord of loaves and fishes, and He'll take that gift and make it into something that can change the world around us.
Amen.
And that is so true. The thing that is so critically important is sometimes the expression that you give and the attention you pay. Just that moment has transforming power and potential. Thoreau said, who knows what healings are set in motion when we simply smile.
Amen.
One upon the other. What yeah. ripples of healing are set in motion?
Yeah.
Fierce Beauty. It is an unusual title. But I really wonder sometimes if there doesn't have to be a boldness and a fierceness in the way that we really stand up for what we know the Lord is
Amen.
Offering. And I want to just say to you, the book is in the bookstores, but let me just say to you that one of the reasons that Betty and I come into your home, the reason Life Today is here and we have guests, is for you to know you're not overlooked.
Amen.
You're not forgotten. Father, I pray everyone will know that's watching today. Perhaps they just turned to this channel or they watched today wondering why, and you want so much for them to know that you notice and that you care. Father, I pray they'll receive your love.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Listen,
yes, Jesus.
To all of you who know the Lord, you know that love?
Yes.
One of the greatest things you can do is find a way to express that love to someone who may feel overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we find, as you all do, helping children that are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We love to help people all over the world. And we've been feeding the hungry for years and rescuing them and mm-hmm. rescuing people out of the sex trafficking. One of the most thrilling things we do is to give a village, a community, a fresh water well where they don't have anything but contaminated,
mm-hmm.
deadly water. And then let me remind you, this is the last week of our Water for Life emphasis for this season. And we really do need your help to, as Jesus put it, to share a cup of water. I want you to listen, but I'd really like you to also be saying, God, what can I do to make a difference for them? Watch closely.
I have 12 children here from age 6 to 14. Sometimes the children say, "Teacher, we are thirsty." So I go to the river to bring water for the children. Children are often sick with diarrhea and fever. I think the river is contaminated and becomes worse because of the waste from the cows. Our only option is to go to the river because we can't afford to buy water. My dream is that we can have clean water and no one will get sick.
I don't know, Betty, if you ever feel like when you see needs and we've helped us in such an effective way that sometimes you wonder, you know, what can we say to help our viewers understand the, you know, we're not showing the children that are just dying or emaciated bodies. They're dealing with a situation that keeps really causing a serious problem when there's a teacher that obviously loves her students and her children and the children in that whole area. And yet they're watching them get ill and they watch them lose their health and even lose their lives. And we can just reach out here and get a fresh drink of water. How do we help our viewers understand that these people don't have that chance? And if we give them fresh water, they're seeing one of the greatest expressions of love to give them a chance at life. And I'm thinking, what can we say to help our viewers understand? Because I'm looking at the time frame. We're in the last week. And I know we're going to have a lot of help to be able to drill the hundreds of wells that are needed this year.
Well, you know, James, I think our viewers and our friends that watch, they do know. They sense the love of the Lord in their lives, in your lives. I know you do. And there are times when you've been so desperate, times when you've thought, if someone would reach out to me and help me. Well, I think that's what you can relate to in these stories that we show you about these precious children. I watched that and I thought, I saw a little smile here and there, James, and I thought, these precious little children, they don't know what's being put into their bodies. They've never had a choice of any other kind of water, James, so they don't know. So they're drinking it because they're thirsty. They're drinking it because their bodies are saying, I'm thirsty. But let's give them a choice to grow up healthy as possible. And the heart of this teacher was, I care about these children. I know the water's bad. Please help them.
And she really can't do anything but care. But you and I can drill a well in that village, and we're asking you to do that. The wells are $4,800. I am grateful because when I will look throughout the week to see, did someone drill a well? And on occasion, I'll see two or three wells. Sometimes I may go several days and I'll see a $1,200 gift and then I'll begin to pray, God, raise up three more people. Or God, I thank you for all the people who joined hands to give $48 or $144 so 10 people or 30 people can have water. I don't know what you can do, but whatever you do, it's going to be giving life to as many as possible. Would you dial that number? We have some special gifts to give you as you give this great gift. In this last week, we need to hear from every one of you who can do something to help. If you can give a well or part of a well, or you make that very special $48 gift, and you say, you know what? We're going to give 10 people water. We're going to do it. We have gifts to bless you, but you're given an indescribable gift. Thank you for making the call. Use your bank card, write a check, or you can go online and make that gift. Thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we will begin drilling 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Believe This, Not That, a brand new topical Bible promise book that will encourage you in every area of life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request our newly released Water for Life mug set, a daily reminder of the clean water you make possible to those who thirst. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lamb and the Lion. This is the last week. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I just want to say thanks on behalf of the teacher and on behalf of all the students, all the children in the area that will be helped. We want to send you the book, Believe This, Not That. It's God's truth, really an answer to the things that the enemy and the old world will throw at you to discourage you, show you the truth. I want to remind you that Fierce Beauty by Kim Meader is in the bookstores. We're going to be talking to her husband, Troy, about the incredible that they have. He's written a book called The Average Joe, God's Extraordinary Calling on Ordinary Men. It's amazing. And I do want to remind you, Indivisible, you can get it, and you can order it and go to the bookstores and get it. And we really do encourage you to get it and pass that information on. Join Betty and me in saying thanks to Paul and to Kim. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Bless you as you're helping children.
Thank you.
And those who really need to hear witness, we're looking forward to hearing from you later this week. Thanks so much for sharing this time with us.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. As America faces battles within, many wonder where to turn. In their new book, James Robison and Jay Richards call us to stand together before it's too late. As one nation, truly under God. Indivisible, available now through online and retail bookstores.
God's calling on your life, God's value of your life is not in what you do.
Tomorrow, Troy Meader proves the importance of being an average Joe. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.